Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Thursday, June 4th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 160, the first paragraph, Outsiders Became Interested, and it ends with, and approached when next he stumbled. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy S., the 12 Traditions, Andrea, I think is S., I'm sorry if I mispronounced it, readers of the text, Dion R., Roz G., and Robin P., and the share ID for Wednesday, yesterday, June 3rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,743. That's 14743, and for this morning's meeting, Thursday, June 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 14,748. That's 14748, and our newcomer greeter is Christina K., and our announcements coordinator is Leslie M., the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kathy S. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kathy S., compulsive overeater from Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Kathy. Yes, and I will now ask Andrea, I think it is, S., to read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Mo. It's Andrea S. in New Jersey.
Andrea. Okay, I'll get it.
Fine. Thanks for 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thanks, Andrea. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that is the star 1 function on your phone, not the mute function on your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 160, the first paragraph, Outsiders Became Interested, ending with Approached When Next He Stumbled. And I will now ask Dion R. to get us started.
Hi, good morning, Mo. This is Dion R. Excuse me, a recovered compulsive overeater. Outsiders became interested. One man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of this largely assorted crowd. This couple has since become so fascinated that they have dedicated their home to the work. Many a distracted wife has visited this house to find loving and understanding companionship among women who knew of her problems, to hear from the lips of their husbands what had happened to them, to be advised how her own wayward mate might be hospitalized and approach when next he stumbled. Okay, wow. This reminds me of the program that I started. They introduced me eventually to OA. This is how the program, how God worked in my life, you know. I didn't know it at the time. It was a God, of course. I wasn't for sure even about that. For sure, I wasn't. And it took this 12-step program to bring me back to the relationship with the God of my understanding. Because when I came in, I wanted to know how can I stop my significant other from drinking all my goodies that I had stashed, drinking my liquor or whatever that I had stashed. And I was like, look, he's doing too much. And he's drinking from the bottle. You know, I still had my finger up. I still ate ice cream out of a bowl instead of a carton. You know what I mean? These are the type of things. But God used that. My higher power, I know it was God. They used that to draw me closer to my recovery and to him. Yes, and I used to hear people in that program, which I think reminds me of Al-Anon, you know, where many women came to just see how they can, you know, like they were saying, keep the eye on yourself and not the other person. I would always look at that as like, no, but he, they, she, it, you know, need help, not me. I'm so grateful to my higher power today that I can actually, you know, look at how my my higher power remove my character defects in the order in which they were killing me, you know, and the food was up there from the beginning, you know, and to the end, but enabling was killing me. It was literally killing me. I felt like sometimes, well, I'm going to do what they do just so they could see how they act. You know, that's insanity. But anyway, it eventually got me to the drug of my choice, and God was able to remove that a day at a time, and I thank God for that program. So I assume when they talk about the man and his wife, they talk about Dr. Bob and his wife, Ann. But, yeah, I could be wrong. I don't know. This is what it sounds like to me. But, yes, it was. I'm grateful that the seed was planted within me and countless others. If it wasn't planted in others, I wouldn't have it. So, yeah, it took that. It took what it took, and it takes what it takes. They say sometimes your triple win or whatever. I don't know. Today I'm just grateful. I don't need to go nowhere else to look for a solution. I'm cool. I'm set. If it ain't working with these 12 steps, I'm leaving it alone. I don't need no more addictions. And with that, I gratefully pass. And thank you guys for allowing me to share this morning.
Well, thank you, Dion R., for getting us started. And I'm going to remind us, everyone, where we are. We're on page 160, the first paragraph, outsiders became interested. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have their experience, too. So those who'd like to share, who haven't shared in the last 3 days, please give me your name.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Joanne B.
Kathleen O.
Joanne B. Kathleen.
Gwendolyn T.
Okay, got you, Gwendolyn.
Mo, did you get Joanne?
I got Joanne. Okay, I have Deb E., Joanne B., Kathleen O., and Gwendolyn T. so far. Yes, yes, I did, Joanne. Anyone else? Room for two more.
Ginger C.
Ginger, got you, Ginger.
Janet S.
Janet F. Was it F?
F, Sam.
Oh, F. Okay. Yes. Thanks, Janet. Okay, that's it. I'll stop there. So we have Deb E., Joanne B., Kathleen O., Gwendolyn T., Ginger C., and Janet S. All right, Deb, you're on.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Deb E., recovered in Southern California. And, you know, we often talk about how the words in the Big Book were very specifically chosen and not repeated unless it was for a certain emphasis. And so the word outsiders really caught my attention with this paragraph this morning. It made me think of how, you know, within program we talk about people who don't have, you know, compulsive overeating issues are normies, and how people who aren't addicts just can't understand the way a fellow addict can understand what we go through. And it caught my attention too, because, you know, everything else seems quite friendly, right? It's like they're trying to help, they're reaching out, they're trying to build up a fellowship about them. And so outsiders struck me as almost being kind of negative and going like, well, they're on the outside. But those outsiders are welcome to become insiders. And when we join this fellowship, we're quickly, you know, this line that says to find love and understanding, we quickly find that in the fellowship. And those outsiders become insiders. And my experience in OA has always been that people are there with open arms and they're willing to take me in and extend a hand and lend a hand and be helpful and to share what they've been given. And I try to do that too. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie. Joanne B., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, this is Joanne B. from Texas, recovered one day at a time by God's mercy and the help of all of my fellows. You know, what comes to mind was when I had my last binge and I was so ashamed, and I went to visit a friend who was in another fellowship, and she knew, I mean, she invited me to one of her open meetings. What was interesting is she knew already for years that I was a compulsive overeater, and she never tried to tell me about the program so much, but she invited me to this meeting, and when I sat in there, and I was thinking, I'm going to support my friend, and I sat in there, and I heard the steps read, and I heard the people's stories, and I thought, oh my goodness, I do this with my food, and I was thinking, I'm finally home. Not understanding at that moment that there was OA, but I was like, I'm finally at home. I get it. I get this. I really get it. And as I'm going home, thinking this is where I need to be, you know, in this other 12-step program, I start remembering my sister mentioning years ago about OA. And so as soon as I got home, I get online, which is absolutely amazing. We have this technology, and I start searching, what is OA? Where is OA? And I find a phone meeting, and I immediately call into that phone meeting. One of our fellows in Vision was moderating, I think, and she calls me up, and she says, hey, I have another meeting that I think you need to attend, and she sends me to Vision. And, you know, just feeling so welcome and so loved, and having this simple program and the freedom that I saw right away that was coming with the steps. It was just amazing. I had a lot of growing, and I still do. But with that, it's just I just feel like I'm like one of the most blessed women in the world. Like, why did God choose me to find this? And I hope I can also bless someone else with what I've come to find, this treasure. And thank you so much for all that you all do and the love you show me. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Well, thank you, Joanne B., Kathleen O., followed by Gwendolyn T. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Good to be on the line with everyone this morning. This is Kathleen O. in Northern California. So, you know, this paragraph speaks of a safe and very unique place that's offering hope to so many who are hopeless. And this one man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of this strangely assorted crowd. So to be so selfless and generous to offer one's home to people of all walks of life, this strangely assorted crowd, but they are people who have something in common. You know, their lives were run and ruined by alcohol. Yet this group of recovered alcoholics are offering a solution. They're offering hope for anyone who's interested in a spiritual way of life. And this disease is truly deadly. So to go into rooms where fellows want to help us, where we find these loving and understanding, this loving and understanding companionship, I mean, that was my experience. I came in hopeless. I didn't think there was any hope. And I was offered hope. You know, in this paragraph, a wife of an alcoholic was able to find loving and understanding companionship among women who knew her problem, which is really what Al-Anon is all about. And, you know, I personally feel very fortunate to be a part of this phone meeting. When I found this meeting where we focus on the hope offered in this chip of a book, I felt like I was finally home. And the way Vision breaks down these paragraphs, it's made me realize over the years how much I was missing in this really amazing 12-step program. And, you know, to have a place where we can bring our problems, to find a sponsor who'll take us through the steps so that we can learn how to solve these problems. I never dreamed it was possible to have freedom from obsessing over food all day, nor did I think it was possible that I could have freedom from fighting anyone or anything. I mean, that was a novel idea. You know, so these steps, they do rocket us into the fourth dimension, and we do experience things beyond our wildest dream. And when I think of, you know, how this started with three men and how men and women were added as the years went on. You know, I try to picture those early days when these men were at someone's house to carry this very unique message. And I picture them all smoking like chimneys and eating cookies and donuts. But they were having freedom from the alcohol, and they were happy in their new sober life. And because of them, we can be happy in our new abstinent life. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. Kathleen O. Gwendolyn T., followed by Ginger C. Good morning, Gwendolyn.
Good morning, and thank you very much for this is Gwendolyn, a compulsive overeater. I am thankfully enjoying day 20 of being abstinent from food, and I can relate to the last speaker around I could never imagine being free from the obsessing over food for 20 days, so I'm very, very thankful for that. I'm also very, very thankful for, I love, what resonates with me is a home, the loving and understanding companionship. I had a tough day yesterday and started out really heavy inside this morning, and after I had time to meditate and time with to spend with my higher power, I knew the next step was to find a safe place such as this to come and to participate in this fellowship and to be encouraged and to find hope. So thank you to everyone who helps to make this so. Thank you for your service. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Gwendolyn T., and welcome. Yeah, glad to have you. Ginger C., followed by Janet S. Good morning, Ginger.
Hey, Mo, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And Gwendolyn, way to go on 20 days. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you, God, doing this stuff for us, because I am a compulsive overeater, and I love food, and I love to eat. And once I start, I don't stop and just love to eat more, right? Because if a little is good, more is always better, and there's plenty of places to go get it. So, wow, what a miracle to be free today. So just the beginning, someone already mentioned this, but outsiders, these are probably normal people or people that aren't having the situation as close to home as some of us, whether we're eating or someone close to us that we love, they're dying in addiction, but they're becoming interested. And why are they becoming interested? Because they're probably seeing something happening, this altruistic, unselfish movement that we don't really see in our world. I think our world, and one of the biggest problems is we've become so self-based. We forgot about taking care of our neighbor, right? Simple. Checking in on them. Going and knocking on the door, taking that time and that moment. But I'm always about me, my plans, my designs, and rolling quickly. Then I miss it. I miss that opportunity because another day closes and I go to bed, not helping this world, not bringing and seeing what can I pack into the stream of life. So they see this. It's exciting. And not only do they see that, they see this welcoming, this soft heart, this opening, this sharing, this authentic telling what it was like, what happened, what it's like today. And it's exciting. Again, we don't hear this message in the world that much. Because if I share it, are you going to hurt me with it? Are you going to judge me or shame me when I've just showed you my truth, this pain that lies within me? So what a gift that each and every, you know, we have these 12 steps today. And it's such an important gift. And I can't waste my suffering and my pain and my reality today because I have been recovered through the grace of God. And the reality is outside our doors, there's so many people in so much pain because we're in uncertain times today with all that's happening in our world. And the reality is many are eating, drinking. There's many addictions out there and they're in them. They're dying in them. And I have a message today. If I'm in a fit spiritual condition and I'm like, I let God guide me today, who would you have me be? What would you have me do? I'm awake and alert, so when that person is presented and God puts them right in front of my face, I have a good chance to connect to them. But if I'm selfish and self-centered and thinking way too much about Ginger, I'm going to miss it. And I just love the end, too, that, you know, maybe he goes to a hospital or he's approached when next he stumbled. That's a big word, stumbled, because a lot of us get into pain around our food, but are we really done? Are we really convinced that this food is killing me and that my life depends, that I'm dying? And I don't, you know, until we're done, we're just not going to really get this program. You've got to be out of ideas. You've got to be done. You've got to be convinced 100%. It's the only step we take 100%. So I just pray for everyone today. I hope you have a beautiful day with God. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Ginger C. And before I take Janet S., let me remind everybody where we're at, because we're going to open the lines up after Janet for more shares. We're on page 160, the first paragraph. Outsiders became interested. So get ready to share. So Janet S., you're up next. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. Janet S., grateful compulsive overeater from Arizona. It's the first time I've been on this telephone meeting, so I'm very grateful to be here. When I read this paragraph or I listened to the share, to me, I always kind of pick out different phrases that, you know, mean something to me in my OA program. And it kind of really related to me, the word outsiders. Even yesterday I had a medical appointment and, you know, I lost a pretty significant amount of weight. And the doctor, of course, was like, oh, what are you doing? And that's so fabulous and blah, blah, blah. And because, you know, she's used to handing out pieces of paper that tell you what to do. you know, tell you what to eat and those kinds of things. So it was exciting to me that she truly took the time to be interested in what made this time different. And so it was nice for me to be able to share with her. And the other thing is that when I came into this program, you know, this line about strangely assorted crowd, you know, I knew I had a huge eating problem, and I've heard, you know, anorexia and bulimia and all of this. But, you know, when you walk into one of those meetings, it really is a strangely assorted crowd. There's people that have all different kinds of issues and levels with their food addiction and their food compulsion. And so we are a strangely assorted crowd. And I'm grateful to be able to realize that everybody has their own story and their own addiction. And then the other thing is, of course, the loving and understanding companionship among men and women who knew your problem. And even in talking to the doctor, you know, who was not a compulsive overeater, it's very hard for someone, you know, this highly educated person, to really understand where you're coming from. Because, you know, her whole training is to just, you know, give you this program. And, you know, I felt like we had a frank discussion so that she understood that what it's about for me is loving, understanding, companionship, and the 12 steps and the higher power. And then the last line is next he stumbled because, when I stumble, I'm going to go back and lean on that higher power and that loving and understanding companionship. And one day at a time, I'm grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Janet S., and welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
So let me remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, I will take your name.
Larry G.
Okay.
Donna W.
I heard two of you together.
Larry G.
Larry, I got you, Larry.
Donna W.
Donna W.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Elaine R.
Elaine R. And who was after Elaine?
Lisa W.
Lisa W. Okay. I have Larry G., Donna W., Bruce E., Robin P., Elaine R., and Lisa W. All right. The rest of you, will you please mute your lines except for Larry G.? Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, and thank you for giving service. My name is Larry G., and I am a recovering compulsive eater. I came to this call Sunday 2017, and we've read about Bill Dotson, who said that he was a goner, and I felt like I was a goner. But by the miracle of showing up in this call, in this format, reading out of the big book and studying one paragraph at a time, I can tell you that I picked my bed up and walked out of the hospital. I feel like a free man today. Reading this paragraph sends chills down my spine because it, you know, our ancestors were bringing people in their homes, and we don't, I don't do that. Maybe other people do. I haven't done that. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I do kitchen table sponsoring, but it just is so inspiring to listen to this paragraph about our ancestors who were that generous and that motivated to bring people into their homes. I feel like I am home. I feel like this vision for you is home for me because I've been in and out of the rooms about OA since 1988. I've stayed since 2000. And my badge of honor was, you know, I've lost 80 pounds and I maintained it. But those of you on the call who have lost, you know, weight, maintained it, but were in the food every single day, obsessing and lusting for food, eating destructive foods, and then, you know, purging myself through exercise. I mean, that's no way to live. And on Sunday the 17th, I mean, I was done. I felt like this program failed me. Well, I failed the program. And then I came to this call, and I hear people introduce themselves as recovered. And I'm going, oh, my God. And I know it's mentioned 20 times in the big book, we have recovered. And I can tell you this is the first time since 1988 that I feel, for me, it's possible to be recovered and to never again eat the way I ate prior to Sunday, 2000, May 17, 2020. In AA, I got into AA in 1980, and when I walked to the door, I knew that I would never drink again the rest of my life, but I've never been able to muster that feeling in OA. But since I've been on this call, I just feel so inspired by all of you who share, who are recovered, who ate the way I ate, behaved the way I ate, thought the way I thought around food, and now you're saying you're recovered. And I'm looking forward to finding a sponsor in this program, in this meeting, going through the big book, going through the steps, and then I'm really excited about giving it away. Anyway, thank you so much, everybody on this call. I'm out.
Thank you, Larry G. And if you stay on the line after 10 till the hour, sponsors will announce their name. So let me now call Donna W., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So glad to be on the call live. You know, I just love reading about the early days of AA and just seeing how, like, you know, could you imagine, like, the despair and suffering, and there's like this solution and the camaraderie and just amazing. And part of me wishes I could be there. And like that Bill just like lives in Ohio for 3 months because he's so dedicated to it. I just can't even imagine that. And then also I'm currently reading through the 12 traditions of the AA 12 and 12. And that, you know, shows how AA is forming, and boy, I'm grateful to not be in those, you know, forming and storming years of AA with, you know, all the strife and challenges and crises and that they went through. I'm so grateful we have the 12 traditions. And, you know, I've heard the 12 steps are to prevent me from killing myself, and the 12 traditions are to prevent me from killing others. So I'm grateful we have the 12 traditions in place, and in general our programs and groups run pretty harmoniously. So I'm grateful, you know, while there's times I wish I could be there in the beginning, and really, you know, it's really hard to appreciate how amazing that was, what a change, what a revolution it was. But then I'm also grateful that I'm here when things are quite smoothed out. I'm also having a really hard time right now, just with what's going on in the world. You know, I'm on, we're here in the lockdown still. We have curfews where I live. I love my husband, and I know he loves me, and he has some
you know, ADD, which I'm just finding exhausting to be around, you know, 24/7. So I'm having a hard time. Need to. Oh, and also because I'm working at home with my husband at home, I'm finding it harder to, like, I'll call into meeting and he wants to talk to me, so then I hang up. And then, so I'm not getting, like, the focus of, in my meetings. I'm on, like, 15 to 20 Zoom meetings for work a week, and, you know, I'm joining my regular OA meetings, but I'm just, it's kind of hard for me to feel, like, completely, you know, like, when I would step into a room with my people, so different. I'm very grateful to have the Zoom meetings, very, very grateful. And it's just not, this is not, I'm not getting like the injection of recovery that that I get when I'm with my people in person and hugging, and that may be a while. So doing my best to stay close to God and on God's beam today. And I just want to remind myself that I do best when I take a day, an hour at a time. I get over, otherwise a day can be very overwhelming, and just let God manage the rest. So I just need to deal, you know, from now till like 8:30 Pacific. That's it. And I'm just saying that kind of, I feel a little lighter and less overwhelmed with what's going on in the world. And I'm so glad you guys are all here. Thank you. And with that, I pass. Have a great day.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Donna W. Bruce E., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, good morning, Mo. And, really glad to be here. Thanks, everybody. I like what I heard earlier. The program didn't fail me. I failed the program. Yeah, I failed. The program didn't fail me. I failed at the program. I got an F in the program because I didn't work the program. I wanted to still hold back some of those foods and still didn't want to give myself 100% to this program. And these people here in this story, they this man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of a strangely assorted crowd. They really opened up themselves to, they really gave it up and surrendered their whole home to this thing 100%, it sounds like. And I'm thinking, well, how have I done that? Well, I didn't do that with my home, but I have done that with myself and my heart and my whole soul here. I've opened myself up to many people in this program. That's been good. But it takes a risk, just like with these people opening up their home. That was a big risk for them. And when I open up my soul or I open up myself to people, I'm vulnerable, and I put myself in a position to be taken advantage of, and that might happen. So I'm sharing with a guy here a week or two ago, and I really shared some intimate things about myself with him, and I really thought that I opened myself up to that person, which I did. And then after I did that, I asked him what his situation was concerning that. And he said, oh, come on now, Bruce. He said, now you're getting personal. You're getting way too personal now. So I felt like I was taken advantage of, you know, because I opened myself up and they didn't want to do that. But I can't control that person, so thank God I know how to write a 10-step, or I think I know how to write a 10. I do know how to write a 10-step, and I can call a fellow and share that with them, which I did a couple of times on that one because I really felt taken advantage of. But that does happen in this fellowship. That we, you know, I open myself up to people. And I can be taken advantage of, and that's all right. That's okay. You know, that's okay, because those people opened up their home to people. And, man, probably were taken advantage of. And that happens. And that's okay. But I want to, you know, I do wake up in the morning, and I usually say that prayer about, oh, thank you, that how can I best serve thee? Thy will be done, not mine. So I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bruce E. We have Robin P., followed by Elaine R. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Mo. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful very grateful, a recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and in the middle of a move, and just so grateful to be on this meeting. It's such a good bouncer, and I'm so grateful, you know, wow, when you study what happened with, you know, the origins of AA and the 12 steps, it was like a very challenging startup company, you know, and they went through so much financial hardship and just thing after thing where you just think, okay, great, now they're going to get a financial break, now they're going to get out of debt, now they're not going to lose their home, you know, just thing after thing, and they just kept persevering one day at a time and still coming from love and still coming from giving and still opening their homes. And, you know, my favorite moments of the day are sponsoring, you know, my sponsees. It's just such a blessing, and it gets me out of myself, and it gets my heart open to just let go of all the stress and just be there for another person. And one of the gifts of all of this transition on the planet is that, you know, I'm sponsoring somebody in another country right now. And it's a real gift to get other perspectives from other people about what they're going through. And it's a real blessing for me to see that, you know, how my instincts about what's been going on in this country feel just right for me, that I get to follow my heart. And that's part of my 12-step work. It always comes back to bless me and whatever lessons I'm meant to learn. And sometimes there are boundaries that need to happen. And I've had sponsors who've lied to me, you know, and said they were abstinent when they weren't. But it's nothing to do with me. It's to do with them. I'm still sharing the program. And, you know, I've heard some old timers say that they're happy when 1 in 10 get sober or abstinent. You know, it's not about that. It's about I get to give freely and make sure that I'm working with people who are willing. And, you know, I always start when I start working with someone, are you willing to go to any length to recover? And I ask them to pray about it. And I also pray to God to make sure that I'm supposed to work with this person. But I always do my best to say yes when I can, because it always comes back tenfold. And God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pray for a very abstinent, blessed day for everybody. And thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Robin P. Elaine R., followed by Lisa W. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. My name is Elaine R. I am a gratefully recovering anorexic from Norwalk, Connecticut. And thank you so much for everyone who did service to put this meeting together, as well as all the shares. I got so much out this morning that I needed to. So it's actually my first time sharing on this group. I've been listening and found my sponsor via this group, but I'm a little nervous. It's kind of intimidating. But this, you know, when we read this paragraph, initially, like, the addict in me was, you know, what am I going to share? But this paragraph, it's not, I don't relate to what's going on in it right now. And as I kept an open mind listening to everyone else, someone mentioned the word outsiders. And that really speaks to where, to a huge part of my evolution in recovery. And even right now, where I can still make myself an outsider, even in the program of OA. And that's a dangerous place for me to be, because, you know, isolation was a huge part of my disease. I still can be separating myself, whether it's pride, fear, or self. It's dangerous territory for me, you know, and a big reservation for me coming in was, like, you know, my problem was anorexia. That was the manner in which my disease manifested, and feeling like, do I qualify, you know, do I have a seat to sit at the table? But I really wanted what you had. And by the grace of God, I mean, I went to one in-person meeting and met my sponsor who brought me to this meeting, who is a compulsive overeater, and really assured me that, you know, I still had a right to recover. And that it wasn't really about the behaviors. It was about the disease, the spiritual malady. Thank God for her. And I can still get wrapped up in the fear. I mean, most of it is fear for me of what other people will think of me. And the truth is that I came into the program miserable. And that was what it was. Regardless of what I was doing, I was miserable and I didn't want to live that way anymore. And as a result of working the 12 steps, I mean, I'm not living that way. But I do still need to do work, and I'm sort of holding myself accountable right now, saying that I need to work a 12-step a little better. I would love to get some phone calls. So thank you so much for everyone on the line, and I'll keep coming.
Well, thank you, Elaine R., and welcome. Thank you for sharing. Lisa W., you're up.
Hi, this is Lisa W. in Pennsylvania. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. This is my first time sharing on this meeting. Thank you so much for everyone's share and for your service today, moderator. As far as this paragraph, I just love the fact that you know, we're able to help so many people by sharing, you know, our stories and what we've gone through. I've been in program for about 5 years now, and I can't believe it myself, and I feel really silly, but I belong to a certain group, and then I've been getting on OA.org and listening to all these different meetings, and I like to listen to Vision for You, especially like this special edition. And I'm not sure if I'm allowed to mention names, but it started with Ginger C. Talking about May 10th, her story, and about how she had to put the food down. And then the more meetings I got on, the more I heard, you have to put the food down. So here I am for the past 5 years, sharing my experience with other people, moderating, sponsoring, sharing and reading, doing everything I thought I needed to be doing. But I was still in the food. So this past Saturday, I had a light bulb moment that, you know, I wasn't abstinent and that I was still in the food and I needed to put the food down. And I'm just so, so grateful that that finally came to me after, you know, 5 years. So thank you, everyone, for your shares. I'm very, very grateful. I pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa W. We have time for one more share if somebody would like to sneak in there.
Leia S.
Leia. All right, go, Leia.
Thank you very much, Mo. What a wonderful meeting. Leia S. recovered and grateful. I wanted to share something. I was quarantining myself on my own free will right before the entire thing came out that everybody should quarantine. I was petrified. And I missed all my activities. And after a while, I decided to take the mask and go out and do my daily walk. And I told one of the people that I'm in touch with, one of my fellows, do you want to join me on my walk? And she says, you got a mask? I said, I got a mask and I got everything. And we went and we had many meetings. And then we opened phone meetings. And then what an amazing thing that in order to progress, in order to really thrive, it means that we just keep to the positive side of the street. Did my thing. This is what God wants us to be in, and this is what God is doing to us. So the people that I didn't get along with, well, God wants me to look a little bit deeper into myself. Why don't I get along with him? And specifically because he's at home. And, you know, it's so mind-boggling because I learned even more things about Leia. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Leia S., and that'll take us out. I want to thank everyone who joined us today, those that gave service and those that shared. Pardon me. And I will now ask Roz G., to read A Vision for You on page 164. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.